Nay for Baal. Two words. No fear. Nay for Baal. No fear. Those are the words that Jesus speaks to his disciples and to the people who are around him in Luke chapter 12. The same words we hear in Genesis 15, you saw it up on the screen there, Genesis 15, where Abram has left Ur, has traveled to Canaan, went down to Egypt during the famine. Remember when he tried to say that Sarah wasn't his wife because he was scared that Pharaoh would kill him? Ended up leaving Egypt, him and Lot separated. He just rescued Lot from the hands of the Canaanite kings. And now he's entering into a covenant with God. And the first thing that God says to him is, do not be afraid, Abram. Because as long as we live in this world, as long as we're going to live in the sinful human body that we have, we are going to struggle with those words, me, the Baal. Right? But my question for us today is, what defines the facts in our lives? We have facts. We know facts. For example, the boss phones and says, don't come in. That's a fact. Right? You get a diagnosis at the hospital and you got an emergency and you end up in an ambulance and you end up at the ICU at St. Joe's. That's a fact. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives that are facts, right? But my question is, in our lives, what defines the facts? Does fear define the facts in your life? Think about it. And now you know what's defining the facts is how you respond to the facts. The facts, when confronted with the facts, what's your first reaction? Fear. How many of us would say it's fear? I would. That's our first reaction. Because we're simply human beings. But the reason we want to talk about more faith as we talk about our relationship with Up is that we would like to get to a point where just after we experience that fear factor, we would immediately be turned to God, because we're so used to going to the Lord for everything, that we would immediately define our fact not by fear, but by faith. That we'd be so used to going to God in prayer, so used to spending our time with the Lord, trusting in Him and experiencing His power, experiencing His love, experiencing His provision, that we would immediately turn from fear to faith. When I went to the leadership summit that Willow puts on every year, I went there, went to Fort Wayne because I went with Kent Hunter, who's a friend of mine, and he lives down by Fort Wayne, so we went to that, and one of the speakers that was there was a guy named Jim Collins. Jim Collins wrote a book, Good to Great, wrote one about business, wrote one for not-for-profits. And his latest book is How Big Companies Fail. And one of the things they looked at was what they called the Stockdale Paradox. Rear Admiral Stockdale was the longest serving high-ranking prisoner in the Hanoi Hilton. You know what I'm talking about? The infamous prison during the Vietnam War. And he was there for many years. You know, John McCain was there as well. You know that. But this admiral was the highest ranking prisoner. He was tortured to near death more than six times. And he was asked by someone, how did you survive this experience? Of course, he talks about faith. He talks about other things. But the thing that what they highlighted, I thought I found most interesting, but he said this. the question the interviewer asked actually was even more specific. He said, so who didn't survive the experience? Who are the people that didn't survive the experience you went through? And he said this, he said, the optimist. And I was like choked because I'm like an optimist, right? And you probably figured this out already. I'm like, what? Positive people do way better in most situations. That's my opinion. But what he said was the optimist, and he defined it. He said it wasn't that what we think of optimism. It was the people who set unrealistic goals. They said, we're going to be out of here by Christmas. Christmas came. Christmas went. He said, those people died of a broken heart. He said, what you have to do in order to survive in situations where you do not have control is to understand the facts. This is the paradox. But not let the facts define you. You understand what he was saying there? Saying, understand the facts, but don't let the facts define who you are. Don't let them define your faith. Don't let them become the focus. And I thought, wow, that's wisdom, right? And so my prayer for us is that we would not allow our human wisdom. In my personal devotional life, I read through the Bible every year. And right now, I'm reading through Ezra in the Old Testament and 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3, I just read them last week. And it was interesting because as I was praying about this, that's why I said I had some brainstorming going on. As I was praying about this and working through this, I was reading what St. Paul says about wisdom. He says, Sophia, wisdom. He says, you know, we're not to have the wisdom of the world or the spirit of men. We're to have the wisdom that's given by God. It's a mystery. And that's one of the things that attracted me back to the Lutheran church when I was kind of looking around when I was a teenager. I was looking around to other churches to see where the fun stuff was happening. And it wasn't happening in the Lutheran church at that time. And I was looking around, and the thing that drew me back was the mystery of the promises of God and the belief that God is truly present in His Word and His sacrament, that He is truly present, that it's beyond my understanding, and it's way more than we'll ever understand or be able to fathom, right? It's something that's so much bigger than us. Kind of reminds me of what God says in Isaiah 55, where He says, my thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts, and my ways so much higher than your ways, declares the Lord. Who are we to try to define Him? Who are we to try to figure Him out? I think the worst two things in Christendom right now that we are allowing to take over the church is fear, because of economics and other things, but it's also reason. It's this rational thought that we can somehow define God or figure Him out, or, you know, I mean, God has given us what we need in order to understand salvation or to understand how to live as a disciple. He has given us all these things in Scripture that we need, right? Isn't that what it said in Luke 12? The Father knows what we need, right? He gives us what we need. But to think that we can define Him or that somehow we have so much of an understanding that we can figure Him out is really demeaning to God. It's really a disappointment. And yet I'm reading a lot of material out there in Reformed circles and Baptist circles, and I'm finding out that people are always trying to define God. I'm thinking God is so much bigger than our definitions. He's so much more than what we can ever imagine. Even within our own church, we got pastors that are trying to put God in a box. And I'm saying, don't! We want more healing. We want more power. We want more love. We want more of the Spirit. We don't want to put Him in a box or define Him. And they're doing it because of fear. It's coming out of fear. Well, if people get all Spirit-filled and start to do all this crazy stuff, and then they go out and they pray for people and they get healed, how are we going to explain that? Seriously. I got someone who said to me, well, you know, you put on Facebook how the Lord healed you. Don't you think you should have included something about the steroids there? I said, I did. You didn't read the first time. I said, they keep telling me it's the steroids, but I disagree. Oh. You know, shouldn't you give some, you know, aren't you scared? What happens if the Lord decides that this is going to be the way you go? I said, well, if the Lord decides in the future, that's his decision. It ain't mine. But for right now, I know what's happening. And I'm going to declare it. Because I believe in healing. I believe in God's power. I know. I've seen it. I've experienced it. He is way more than what we can define. He is way more than what we can figure out. He is way more than our wisdom will ever understand, folks. You believe me? And that's why we need more faith. That's why, I mean, listen to Jesus. He says, ye of little faith. Luke 12. Why? Because they were worried about what they were going to eat? Because they were worried about what they were going to wear? I mean, that's a real concern. We were going to a wedding yesterday at ULC, and I was very concerned for some of the people we ran across on our way there. It's like they can't afford clothes. I think it was a free choice, but I think that they could probably use some more clothes. That's supposed to be funny. Anyway, you know, these are concerns. I got a video that we're going to try. Oh, Lord. Pardon me? Yeah. We're going to try this video, and the reason I want this video is I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been like these two when it comes to really trusting what the Lord has to say? I'm hoping this will work. Everybody has something. Let me think of that. I thought maybe it was a little sacrilegious at first, but I thought it was a good illustration of how fear can sometimes so affect the facts that we kind of don't get what the Lord wants to do, right? You just see their reactions. Any of you see yourselves in their reactions? I saw myself. That's why I guess I liked it so much. I was like, hey, I'm there. I would probably have the same response. But the reality is the Lord wants us to know. He wants us to understand. He wants so much more for us. Listen to the words that he speaks. Listen to what the Lord says. These are so powerful. They're just so full. I just, you know, the English doesn't sometimes do it justice. It says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's using words that are just so powerful. I could spend an hour just talking about the fact that he uses the word flock. That has such huge connotations for the people he's speaking to. They have spent their whole lives being taught that they are the flock of the Most High because God entered into a covenant relationship with Abram. That through Jacob, they have received the covenant promise and they are the flock, that God is their shepherd. They understand that that language is so. And he says, it is the Father's, what? Pleasure. How many of you get pleasure out of giving things to people? I do. Someone said, philanthropy is a wonderful thing. And I said, oh, really? They said, yes, because it's the opportunity to give. And it's a great thing. Why do you think Bill Gates is lining up all these people to give money away? Probably because they don't want the government to get it first. But secondly, because there is something that about us as human beings that we like to give, right? And then you match that with faith, and you can't stop it, right? You match that with faith, and especially you have the gift of giving. Wow. And so my question for us today is, are we going to let fear define the facts for us? Or are we willing to trust in the Lord and receive what he has for us? Because really, this is all what it's about here. It's not about what we do. It's not about what we think. It's not about how we do stuff or what we reason about things or how we react to things. It's really about our faith and our willingness to receive what God has for us. It's about putting out our hands and saying, give me! And that sounds, you know, really selfish at first. But just think about this. Far too many times, we have not received because we have not asked. We have not been given because we have not sought. Isn't that what he said? Seek first the kingdom. Because why? Why does he say that? Because he just said the Father's desire or his good pleasure is to what? To give us the kingdom. So is it wrong to put out our hands to receive? Is it wrong? The issue is our motivation. The issue is our mind and our heart. The issue is, why are we wanting to receive? That's where it becomes selfish. But really, if we're receiving because we desire more of God, more faith, more power, more healing, more of His presence in our lives, is it wrong? No. That's why I love this skit, because did you see the change in their response as they keep getting bread and fish and trail mix? I'm not sure that's in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I know it's not. A little bit of artistic freedom there, you know. But do you see their response on their face as they're handing out and it just keeps coming? Brothers and sisters, that's what I want to see at Cross Resurrection. I want to see us receive so much that we're just kind of like, this is great. Isn't it? John Wiper's not here, but after a council meeting, we were sitting around talking, and I said, isn't it fun? Isn't it fun to be here? And he says, turns to me, says, it is really fun. If you know John, that's kind of funny coming from John, right? It's really fun. It's fun to be in a place where God is pouring out his power. It's fun to be in a place where we want more faith. We want more power. We want more healing. We want more. And all I'm asking today is, that's why I want to change things around, because we've got 15 minutes. I wanted to spend some time in prayer so that we will truly open our hands and with humble hearts and with our focus on Jesus, the one who did it all, who died and rose again, the one who has promised us that it is the Father's pleasure to give us it all, that we would receive what he has for us today. How I want to handle this is, I want to do something, again, that's a little bit out of the comfort zone of many people, and that's why I'm going to give two options here. Is there people here who are willing to pray with others and to just have some time to go, you know, talk about struggles and pray for them about things that they're going through in their lives? Are there people that will put up their hand and say, yes, I'm willing, Pastor? Okay, so there are a few, okay? Is there, if you're willing to do that, and if you're one who's willing to share with others and you want that type of thing, I'm going to ask you to basically pair up and do that. That makes sense? To actually seek these people out and spend some time, because I think, just as Mr. Zulig shared in the children's sermon, there are times that we just need to talk to other people. Or we're going through something, and it's just, there's something about when you tell them what's happening in your life and they literally turn to you and pray for you, there's power in that. Do you believe me? And in far too many times in churches, we can sit in the pew or the chair, and we can just sit here, the other option I'm having is, I'm going to ask Sarah maybe to play something on the piano. I'm just going to give us time just to spend time in silence and to bring those things before the Lord and just to ask the Lord to help us to receive what he has for us. Does that make sense? I don't want to force people into a situation where they don't feel comfortable. But so those people that are willing to pray, can you put your hands up? Again, anybody who wants to, can you pair up with these folks and just spend some time in prayer? You have some people that just kind of look around you, grab somebody close to you if you feel comfortable doing that. Just take some time, and this is ministry, folks. This is what we're about, ministry. Can you do that? Just take a step of faith here. Faith, you know. Faith. More faith. All right. And then for if you, you know, again, if you want that, that's fine. If not, then let's just take a time We're just going to take time and we're just going to sit before the Lord and think about those things that you fear, that have defined the facts for you in your life. And let's just set them before the Lord, okay? Just put them before the Lord. And consistent with Scripture. And one of the passages that I would like us to look at is Hebrews 11. And we're going to read it together because it goes up on the screen. Hebrews 11. And the reason this is a culmination of why we study the people who God has led in the past and who lived lives of faith, because we see in them the type of faith that we want to have, a faith that can see beyond what is there at the time, a faith that is so powerful that it defines the fact. And so let's read it together. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is possible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these things by faith when they died. They did not receive the promise. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. We want to be about ministry, service, because we believe in the power of prayer. And we believe, Lord, that you do not want us to live in fear and anxiety and worry. Lord, that you want us to be a people who live by faith, who believe that faith is not just something that you can manipulate, but it is a free gift. So, Lord, we take our hands now, and we put them out, and we ask you, O Lord, to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, to give us not only the forgiveness of sins which we have received through your word, through the absolution, through the body and blood of Christ here today in his true presence, but Lord, during the time of ministry, Lord, we have received from you what you have promised. You are capable of doing what you say. We believe that your thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, and your ways so much higher than our ways, that we cannot fathom with our own wisdom how amazing you are. And so, Lord, we come before you, we bring the prayers that we prayed in the silence of our hearts or in groups together, and we place them on your altar, O Lord, as a sacrifice of praise and prayer to you, Lord. And we ask you, O Lord, to now, as we raise our hands to you, fill us, we pray. Give us all that you are pleased to give us, Lord. The kingdom, the freedom from bondage, the freedom from our burdens, the healing, the power, the love, the presence that you desperately desire to give to your people. You keep saying to us, you want us to give us more, much, much more. Yet, Lord, sometimes because of fear, we don't want to receive it. We don't know how to handle it. We don't know if we can control it. And yet, Lord, you turn to us and you say, I just want to give it to you, my children. Lord, may we, as St. Paul said, have the mind of Christ and know that when we belong to Christ, we belong to God. And Lord, we belong to you. We are your flock. We are your children. Give to us, Lord, what you desire and are pleased to give. Fill us to overflowing, we pray. Let us know that you are capable of providing for us in miraculous ways that we have yet to experience. Because it's fun to live knowing that we serve a God who is so big that he can do more than we could ever imagine or think. Lord, show us your power.